Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube, for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show, if you don't catch it live, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn mowers, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here's Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
All right, Jackrabbit Nation, a little bit of a bait and switch. This is the furthest thing from the B-Team that we could possibly get. That just happened to be the only video intro that I had available to me. Closed circuit to Chad. I think we need a special edition one made for next year. We got to figure that out. But I tell you what, I had an idea, and I'm really excited it came to fruition. It was kind of last minute here. So I thought, based on just everybody traveling and some news that I heard last week, that this could be a fun conversation to have. I'm Dallas, a member of the A-Team podcast, and I have a very special guest, and I'm super excited here. Quick, again, thank you to Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. You guys have been great to us this year, our headline sponsor. Could not be more grateful. If you need to move dirt, move snow, any of those sorts of things, get an orange product, go to a Kubota dealer of South Dakota. So many different options. Get to one of them. They're all over the state. All right. So that said, I want to welcome a very special guest. And as a former player, I'm kind of geeking out here a little bit. Mr. Tom Manzer, who has been the PA voice of the Jackrabbits for a very long time, just recently retired, and I've got him here. And I just wanted to chat a little bit because it's somebody that I think everybody associates him and his voice with Jackrabbit football, and nobody's really gotten to know him. So anyway, Tom, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, of course. I I was going to make a comment too about if I said the name Tom Manzer, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't necessarily know your name, but the second they heard your voice, they would know exactly who you were. I actually had to whittle down my list of questions here to keep this reasonably short. But I guess one, what year did you start again? I know I read this.
I started in the fall of 1979.
Okay, so the fall of 79. So to put that in perspective, you almost were the PA announcer for my dad.
I was the PA announcer for your dad.
Really? That would have been,
I'm sorry. Let me back up.
Okay.
I started school here in the fall of 1971.
Ah, there we go.
And my major was broadcast journalism. And another student and I, back in those days, the campus radio station, KESD-FM, was run pretty much all by students. And another student and I did play-by-play of the home games. We didn't have any money to travel, but I do remember calling a few interceptions for Charlie Clarkson. So, just to go back, and I'll try to be brief, but when I came to SDSU in the fall of 71, coming from a little town out in the south central part of the state, played 8-man football, played basketball very, very poorly. I got on campus and I saw the likes of Les Tuma running over players, intentionally running out of his way to go over a defender. And then Lee Colburn and John Thomas playing basketball in the old barn. And like the animal trainers, raisers say, a puppy imprints best at 6 weeks with a new human. I was the new human at SDSU in the fall of 1971, fall of winter. So So SDSU has been imprinted on me for all of these years.
So, and that was your introduction. I'm glad you brought up Tumas, because I tell you what, that's a name I wish, I don't think I ever got a chance to meet him. That was somebody that I heard about from my dad from the time I was little. And then now being around the program, that is still a family that is at all the home games, and you see them all the time, and they've got their, you know, got their Tuma jerseys, and they're a very cool example of, I think, just the history of South Dakota State football.
They are part of what makes it great. That's for sure.
For sure. So I that's an interesting. I mean, talking about starting at the beginning, like, could you have imagined at that point the changes that we've seen at South Dakota State?
Not at all. Another little quick story. This was several years later, but and let me first tell you when I started, because this is kind of, I think it's interesting for me anyway. The fall of 1979, my wife and I had just, my wife had just given birth to our daughter, Rachel. We moved back to Brookings from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I took a job in the admissions office in August of that fall, and I was coming back to the office after lunch one day, and Harry Forsyth was in the outer office talking to Vince Herr, who was the director of admissions. And as I was walking by, almost through the door, headed to my office, I heard Harry Forsyth say, "You don't know who could know somebody that could do the PA, do you?" And Vince, without hesitating, just pointing, he says, "Yeah, Manzer can do it." So that was my interview process.
No way.
That's how it happened. So I've always 30 seconds either way, I probably would have not have been the PA announcer for all of these many years.
You've got to be kidding me. That was my next question, was what got you started? And I don't think I could have imagined that it was just walking by and having somebody call out your name that could do it. Wow.
There were two things. Number one, I loved SDSU football and Jackrabbit athletics. And then, of course, my boss pretty much said I would do it. So I guess I say, well, I'm kind of stuck. And literally the next, I think it was the next Saturday or maybe two Saturdays, I was up in the booth doing the PA announcing. And so, in terms of the changes, I'll tell you one quick story. My grandson probably was 9 or 10 years ago, or 9 or 10 at the time, at the old stadium. And I can still remember this very, very clearly. He came up into the old press box, and I'm not sure how many know, but the pigeons used to roost during the summer, the entire summer. So it literally smelled like a chicken coop going up to the press box door. And my grandson said, I can remember saying that it stinks, and he didn't want to go up to see where I was doing the PA from. So now you can compare that to where we are now.
A little bit of an upgrade.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'd heard that. I remember coming in and suggesting to Coach Stig that we paint the press box, because the, you know, the logos and all the words on it and stuff were all faded. I thought, come on, somebody could get that done. But no, I didn't know that pigeons called that home. Just out of curiosity, Tom, what was your day job? I'm assuming that PA announcer for the Jacks, while you would deserve it, probably didn't get a pension out of that.
I did not get a pension. It was all the last couple of years, it was all volunteer, which I was very, very happy to do. But I was an admissions counselor for beginning that fall for about 8 years, and then spent another 9 years as head of the local Chamber of Commerce here in Brookings, and headed up the economic development effort. And then for about 25 years, I was with the Wealth Management Department at First Bank and Trust here in Brookings until I retired in 2018. So I've been retired for about 5 years now.
Okay. So you really got to see the community grow along with the school. That's cool. I'm curious now, back to some game stuff. Like, what did a typical game day look like for you? Was there, I don't know how much, you know, obviously you think about, you know, radio and television, there's tons of prep that has to go into that. Like, what did your day look like?
Well, back when we first started, it was you get a two deep roster, which was fine in terms of announcements. You know, I other than Ron Lynn's giving me a few announcements of upcoming games or upcoming events, there were no announcements with regards to advertising that you have. I occasionally would, and Ron would bring in scores from around the conference and other things. But other than that, it was just doing the typical PA work of tackles and carries and yards and et cetera.
Sure. Is there a part of it that you enjoyed the most?
Well, in the old stadium, I enjoyed the most the seat, the where the press, the PA sat in the old Coughlin alumni was right on the 50. And of course, the press box was a lot closer to the field. So it was literally the best seat in the entire stadium. It was not a heated press box, but it was out of the wind and the rain and the snow. I didn't talk about that too much because of the fans that had to sit out in the stands. but it was a great, great place to watch football.
Well, but by the time it got snowy and rainy and cold, there wasn't that many fans to offend. Most of them, it was parents and a couple other people, and that was about it.
On some of the games, that is exactly the case.
Yeah, it did, and it's come a long way.
Right.
Curious, as you think back through, I'm going to put you on the spot here. As you think back through, because I mean, you went back to, you know, talking about my dad, Les Tuma. I mean, those days you go through. I don't know a ton of history, you know, say in the 80s. You know, there's some names that come out. I remember, you know, going to games as a kid watching. Oh, a great defensive end. Last name started with a Z. Goodness.
Z? You're not thinking of Kevin Tetzloff, are you?
No, that name rings a bell, but there's another one. All right, I'm gonna pause on that. I'll think of it as soon as we stop talking here. But anyway, going all the way through those, you know, into the 90s, you know, obviously, you know, my, you know, Ronick was, you know, late 90s into, you know, 2001 or whatever it was into that. Do you have any favorite players or people that really come to mind when you think Jackrabbit football?
You know, I've been asked that question, Dallas, and I really do not have a favorite player. At the time that a Sonic or a Josh Ronick or some of those guys were playing, they were tops for their teams and at that particular time of Jackrabbit football. And now you have an Isaiah Davis or you had Pierre Strong, Zach Zinner, and receivers. It's just really hard to say that I had a favorite. They all kind of, in the way I think, the way my mind works, they all kind of blend into a very, very positive view of Jackrabbit athletes, the dedication and the hard work that they put in to preparing for the games and making them better athletes. So that's kind of my take on it, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes total sense. And again, I knew you were putting them on the spot. I was just curious if there's anybody in particular that really stands out or comes to mind. Favorite probably wasn't the right word.
Well, there are lots of players and lots of plays. You know, looking at the names that I got to call off that played in the NFL, that was always really exciting to me to see a Vinatieri kick a winning field goal in a Super Bowl. And
oh yeah, that guy.
I remember him way back when. So, you know, things like that. One other thing that I would add in terms of favorite players, I've got, I'm a member of a group that Coach Stig started, the Difference Makers Club.
Yep.
And we have met regularly and supported the football program there's a player going back to my time as a student. And I think it's not necessarily that he's my favorite player, but that he epitomizes what Jackrabbit football has meant to a lot of people. This guy, I can remember him coming back to the dorm. He was not a starter. He was not a great player. He was on the defense. He got beat up in every practice. And I can remember him dragging back, moaning and groaning almost. and he did letter 1 year. Now, ever since, he was a coach and educator, and he is a strong supporter of Jackrabbit Athletics. And to me, he epitomizes all of those that made the starters better, that pushed them, that were there to support the first team, the starters, and the program. And they've built SDSU football over all of these years.
So where did he coach and teach at?
Watertown.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be Verge. I was hoping. I'm like, come on, be Verge. I tell you what. So I know that's who actually my dad watched the semifinal game, which would have been your final game. In the I don't call it in the booth or whatever. But yeah, my dad. We sat in the end zone in the Stig Center, and yeah, my dad sat by Verge, and that's who we watched with. And I remember actually going to camp as a high schooler, and honest to God, the only thing I remember out of that was Verge's coaching from the whole thing. So yes, it's been fun to, I love hearing some of these names that I remember from when I was a little kid, from my dad. So yep. Couldn't agree more. All right. So, as you turn the page here, is there anything in terms of South Dakota State football that you're looking forward to? Not now that you're not going to be up there, calling games.
Well, I am looking forward to being a fan in the stands. It's 44 years is a long time to be up there. My wife and I were looking at the past years, and we figured that we sat together in away games, no home games, of course, about 10 games of the Jackrabbits. I'm looking forward to sitting in the stands. Frankly, if anybody knows me, I'm looking forward to yelling at the refs and not worrying about having the mic on, that type of thing.
Okay. I was looking forward to asking that question, because anytime you would ask, the last 5 or 6 years of Stig's run, when you asked him, he could very quickly say, "Lori wants me to go to the Northeast to look at leaves." Like that was, he knew exactly what he needed to do in the fall. So I was curious if you had an answer to that too. All right. So a couple more questions here quick, and then I'll let you go. And I got to get my son to a workout here too. All right. Favorite memory from Coffin Alumni Stadium and favorite memory from Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium.
From Coughlin alumni, there is one game that sticks out, and it was 1985, I believe. And on homecoming, it was a beautiful, beautiful October day. And I can just remember sitting up there, and we were playing USD. USD was ranked number one coming in, and SDSU pulled the upset. So I do remember that game. And one thing that I do remember, and this is kind of silly, but I do remember Ron Lenz handing me a soccer score, and the SDSU soccer team had beaten USD 2-1 in soccer. And I do remember this, and it's kind of silly, but I do remember hanging on to that score and waiting for an opportune time to say the score where SDSU beat USD. And it was a full house in Old Coughlin alumni, and I remember the roar. Now, I did not turn the corner in terms of winning that game, but I do remember that brought some excitement to the fan. In Dana J, I have to say that it was the game would have been against Montana State in the semifinals last year when we got to go to Frisco. You know, the COVID year was great, but not the excitement of having the fan support that they had in last year when we went. That would be my favorite game.
Everybody throwing the snow in the air, and that is a. I think people use the term core memory. Like, that is something that is locked in my mind. I will never forget that for the rest of my life. That was so impactful. You reminded me of something that I forget. One of the other JI guys told me to ask a few days ago, and I almost forgot. I'm assuming we don't know who your replacement's going to be yet, do we?
We do not. Not we as, do. I,
anyway, that's you're not out of it. It. Not your problem.
Right.
I hope to God that, well, I don't know. Do you want them to, do you want he or she to say the pride is back? Because that is absolutely your signature trademark. And what part of me wants them to say it and part of them doesn't.
Well, that would be up to the director, Kevin Kessler. That is something that was scripted. That was not my.
Really?
Yeah, it was not mine. I got associated with that, and for the Pride members, I'm the voice of the Pride. But the Pride is Back was scripted, and that would have been scripted when former director of bands Jim McKinney came back to SDSU in '83 or something like that. So that's when I began my association with the Pride, and that was a script that was in front of me. So I read it.
Well, all right. I'll tell you, it means a lot. And I, if I can, all of the things that I've heard you say, right. When I was playing, when I was a kid, and actually Jeff Wolgamont was, he wasn't starting with a Z, but Wolgamont was the one I was trying to remember as a D lineman that really stood out to me. But anyway, from when I was a kid to when I was playing to now as an adult and being a member of JI and all these things, like all of the things that I can hear you saying in my head, the Pride is Back probably sticks out on top. So anyway,
There was a comment on Facebook of someone who actually graduated when I started the year that I when the Pride was back, or it was the same voice. It actually wouldn't have been saying the Pride is back, but back in 1975 when I started, that person was back attending a game this past fall and said that the voice was the same voice, and it brought back all kinds of memories from, and he or she was a student. So it's not me. It's just the continuity, the atmosphere. That just makes me very, very happy to have been a part of that. It could have been Joe Blow. It was just my voice.
And I got to disagree. I don't know, Tom. This entire time, I'm kind of geeking out here. Like, I just, again, your voice is associated with so many important moments in my life that you're very humble. That's great. I'm going to say it was you. So that you don't have to agree with me. All right. So I need to wrap up here. I'm curious in closing. So you said you're headed to Frisco tomorrow. I can't make it, which sucks. It is absolutely painful, but it just isn't. My kid's got a bunch of stuff going on, so I'm going to enjoy that and enjoy the game for Mankato here. I, for about the first time ever, called a fairly decisive Jacks victory is my prediction. I'm putting you on the spot again. What is your prediction for Sunday?
Well, as to the final score, I'm not into that kind of thing, but I do for sure think the Jacks are going to win. They're just too strong, and Montana has some strengths, but they have some weaknesses in it, and Coach Rogers and staff along with his players are going to find those weaknesses. That's my prediction.
I like that. I'll take it. Well, I'll tell you what, Tom, again, I'm kind of nerding out here. This has been very fun. I'm glad this worked out last minute. You know, on behalf of Jackrabbit fans, players, former players, thank you for everything that you have done, and enjoy your second retirement, if you want to call it that.
I will. Just really quick, and I know you got to go, but there are two things. I'm looking at an honorary Jackrabbit letter on my wall.
Ooh.
So got that, and that I'm very proud to have that, have had that for a few years now. And if you heard the mantle clock going off a little while ago, that's a clock that the Pride gave me to show their appreciation. And on the inscription on the clock says, friend of the Pride Award to Dr. Tom Manzer. So I've got an honorary letter, and somebody screwed up and gave me a doctorate, which I'm not making light of, but I've got an honorary letter and I've got a doctorate. So that makes me very, very happy to be help out with the Pride and the Jacks football team.
you could have told me that before we started. I could have called you doctor, and I messed it up this whole time here. I've embarrassed myself.
Right.
Oh, man. All right. Well, again, thank you. I tell you what, usually when we finish, we say go big, go blue, and then go Jacks together. Could you indulge me and you say go big, go blue, and then I'll say go Jacks with you?
All right.
All right. Do it.
Go big. Go blue.
Go Jacks. Yes.